He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
To our listeners for this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin, Mike Flint, and Robin Leach. And we have some topics to discuss, and I'm going to let Jay start it because we, internally, for your listeners' interest, if you are interested, have been discussing the validity and relevancy of posted speed limit signs around the roads in our listening area and beyond. Jay.
Well, you know, speed and speed limits is always a hot topic. I just came across an article earlier, sometime last week, about whether speed limits were still effective, yes or no. And then it just started me thinking and doing a little bit of research and, you know, when did we start having speed limits and what is the correlation? You know, why do we have speed limits? Is it a safety thing? Or is it often is the case, is it a revenue-making machine for local law enforcement agencies? Probably D, all of the above. But historically, we had speed limits as early as in late 1800s, I think, in the U.K. And I think the first speed limits in the U.S. were set here in Connecticut back in, I think, 1901.
That was, if I may interrupt, 1901. Yeah, Connecticut established the first motor vehicle speed limits. However, New Netherlands, which is present-day known as New York, had a law restricting carts and wagons to a, quote, gallop in 1652.
Yes. Fabulously interesting, Mike.
Isn't that interesting?
We've been reading the same articles.
Apparently.
What
were those speed limits, to interrupt you and get that point into our show?
In the 1901 here in Connecticut, and I don't have the article right in front of me, Mike have.
Yeah, I do.
It was somewhere in the 9 and 12 miles an hour, yeah. Or 8 and 12,
in,
something like that.
Yeah, 1901, it was a limit of 12 miles per hour in cities and 15 miles per hour on highways.
There we go.
What could the cars do?
In 1901?
That,
well, probably a little bit faster, but probably you didn't want to really be going much faster. I think we can fast forward to the 70s, and Robin, you and I talked about this just a few minutes ago. In 1974, when we encountered the oil embargo
and gas shortages,
the national speed limit was
55,
set to 55 miles an hour. So even though states were, or are since then allowed to set their own speed limits, there was a federal law that limited the speed to 55. And that stayed in effect for quite a long time.
Yeah, that was
until 1999.
Yeah, Bill Clinton took that out in 1995.
Okay,
was it 95?
Good.
Okay, yeah. I'm not even sure of that. But
well, that's all interesting. It's gone. The 55 limit is around, of course, as we know. New York State, I think, has a statewide limit of 55 miles an hour on their roads. We know that on the interstates there is a higher limit posted, and we know that the enforcement, which is part of what we should talk about in the speed limits, is generally a bit higher than any of the posted speed limits, no matter what the posted speed limit signs are. They've recently been reduced in some places in New York State, Jay, have they not?
They have. Let me get to that in a second. Yes.
Okay.
As we know, I like driving, and there are quite a few very nice roads in our tri-state area. And specifically, if you go on the New York side of the border, speed limits are a little more liberal on secondary roads, as they are limited to 55 miles an hour. However, some of my favorite roads, and I think all of them in Dutchess County, or many of these county roads, speed limits have been reduced from 55 to 45 miles an hour. And I was kind of devastated. And then I drove those roads at 45, 48 miles an hour, you know, keeping that little, we're always trying to go a few miles above the speed limit and knowing that we probably will get away with it. And then I realized that at 48 miles an hour, some of those turns were actually quite a trip to take.
Challenge.
So, yeah, we're a challenge. Yeah, so, and that's where New York State uses a lot more the cautionary signs, those yellow signs we see on the roads, where from one turn to another, the speed can drop to 35 or 25 or 20, but other than that, the state speed limit of 55 is applicable, or in some cases, like in Dutchess County now, like you're at 45. So I think secondary roads, I think the 55 speed limit is a good norm.
Barometer.
It's a good level of speed.
No.
And in Europe, it equates to that 90 kilometers an hour that has been the rule on most secondary roads.
For years.
In France, in Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, that 90 Ks is really kind of a standard. Although that has been changing also over the last 20 years.
Well, with the 55 mile an hour, I'm going to disagree with you on this. I think 60 is appropriate simply because psychologically it's 1 minute, 1 mile. 60 miles.
Very fascinating detail in that.
1 minute a mile.
To have it 60 instead of
it's
55.
A mile a minute.
Mile a minute. That's right. That's what I was. My mind went blank all of a sudden. It was like, what did I want to say?
Well, then you can go like on the highways. It should be 2 miles a minute. Or
that's
or
a good idea.
Well, okay.
So
jump in before we let Jay take over again. Mike's comment about a mile a minute is a very interesting one. But I think that everywhere that you see a posted 55 mile, and we'll get to that in postings, what do you need to do when you see a posted speed limit? Let's go right to that.
Go
you
faster.
Need to stick to that, or can you go, in general, a certain percentage above all those posted signs without getting into trouble with the law?
I say 60 is a psychological. I can hold 60. 55, problems.
Okay, Mike.
It's all mental.
So, the speed limits are the most broken law in our country, probably in most countries. I mean, I think half the people, there are surveys done on a regular basis. One of the articles I read mentioned that I think it is 30% or maybe even half of people have broken speed limit laws in the last 30 days. And that, obviously is really easy to do. And as much as I like driving fast, I do have to say that speed can be a problem. And you have to differentiate between speed limits on highways and on secondary roads, and most importantly, when you're going through towns. And for that, on that topic, Europe has brought down speed limits towns from most 50 Ks down to 30 Ks, so 19 miles an hour. Going through down center of cities or even small towns, and even though that can seem excruciating when those limits went into effect, it is the right thing to do. And look at our local towns here. Look at whether it's Salisbury, Millerton, go through Barrington, going through those towns in the middle of the day at 30 miles an hour is just not
too fast.
It's too fast.
Okay. So discussing these village town speed limits is a very interesting point because in our local listing area, Salisbury being the example I'll bring up right now, we now have a crosswalk situation where we have a blinking sign if the people who are using the crosswalk will push the darn thing. And going, as Jay said moments ago, 30 miles an hour is too fast to be going through the centers of villages that have crosswalks in them and stores on both sides of the road, bad visibility when the cars are parked on both sides of the road as it can be. And so I agree with Jay on lowering speed limits in villages for sure. We have in our listing area, many listeners will know this, Egremont doesn't have... Egremont, for years, has been revenue-generating by capturing speeders going through the village of Egremont. And even though there's a south and a north, we're talking about the south end of Egremont. And so the traffic has learned, or the owners, or drivers have learned, that no matter whether there's any police enforcement or any other enforcement going on there, you do not exceed by more than 5 miles an hour, the posted speed limit of that particular village. The best way to generate knowledge about what the enforcement situation is follow a local town policeman sometime on a road that doesn't have traffic in front of it going slowly because they're fearing what's behind them, and see what they do in the speed limit areas. I do this on the interstates or the main roads in New York State, and you will find New York State troopers and Connecticut State troopers, I've noticed recently, going well above the posted speed limits on those roads and in excess of 10 miles an hour above, or at least 10 miles an hour above.
That tells me that I can go
10 miles an hour above without fear of getting stopped by radar or anybody sitting along the sideline. Side road or roadside, monitoring traffic.
Well, you can have that. We can have that debate. I mean, I've been passed by cops on the highway going 85, 90 miles an hour with no lights on, and you know, following them at that speed, I'm not taking that chance.
I'm not recommending that be done, but you at least can know that if they're doing it, they're probably not going to get you for doing it if you're independently on the road another time and they come along.
I don't know. I'm all for patrolling the road, and if driving faster than traffic is a way to patrol the road, I mean, that's a way to actually observe what traffic and drivers
Correct.
Are doing. So I actually pretty much have no problems with that. And usually troopers who are coming fast on the highway behind you are not trying to nail you. They're just moving through traffic.
They may be ending their shift, too, and trying to get home.
Well, there's that, too. And it brings us to speed limit enforcement. And I've said it before, and I have an internal conflict here, is I am all for speed cameras and scanners if we're going to have speed limits. It's the only way to effectively enforce speed limits and make it equitable and have everybody actually driving at the same speed. And actually, the problem with speed is not speed in itself. It's a difference in speed, right?
Correct.
Going 80 miles an hour, if everybody's going 80 miles an hour and you don't hit anything, it's totally fine. If you're driving in traffic and traffic is going 45 and trucks are going 70 miles an hour, that's a problem.
Yes.
So I'm all for making traffic flow at more of the same speed. And I see that in Europe. And, I go back from time to time, and having lived there, 25, 30 years ago, there is a difference in driver behavior. And I do see, I think you can, in time, change drivers' behaviors.
Well, in time means years. Because
years.
And it would have to be a very stabilized learning a situation out there to make us drivers refine and reform our driving habits. To our listeners' credit, or maybe benefit, we have a sign outside of Sharon coming towards Lakeville. Somebody's posted on a lawn that says, "This is not your racetrack. We live here. This is not your racetrack." Jay, you may have seen it.
I have.
This is probably dealing with the racetrack weekends in Lime Rock when the people are coming up to go to Lime Rock, and many of them are coming up in their sports cars, and they ply both the main roads and the back roads to get to the racetrack itself.
Here's the problem I have with a particular sign. It's actually on a road where there's, there are a few houses, and it's on a straight stretch.
A person who is just trying to get us to look at that sign, whether we're going by that sign and in that particular neighborhood, which is not a dense neighborhood, just because they are probably mildly irritated by seeing independently a car or truck here and there zooming by their house if they're outside mowing the lawn or doing something like that.
You know, my problem with speed limits is it changes too often. As you're driving down the roads around here, if you really notice, it's like the speed limit changes are so frequent, no matter what you come to a corner, then you're supposed to slow down here. I think we need to examine how exactly they're doing this as opposed to just randomly saying, well, somebody said this is a dangerous
interesting
corner.
Interesting you bring this up, Mike, because I've talked about this with Robin. I find that in Massachusetts, for instance, the speed limit changes, every quarter mile.
Yeah.
If you take, you go from on Route 23 If you get to the end of under Mountain Road at the end of 41, and you take a left and you go towards Catamount, which Robin and I do quite a few times over the course of the winters, especially, the speed limit changes. I don't know how many times, just a few miles and go.
Can I interrupt and say that I'd like to move forward on against the independent interim little comments like that, although relevant. There are ways to control speed that Massachusetts has instituted recently on one of our roads, Route 41, for example, and they basically double-lined it with double yellow lines from end to end. And it doesn't matter what the posted speed limit is. It's 45, I think.
Down.
But
that is just dumbing down.
Well, it's dumbing down. It's causing people who want to obey the signs to cause other people behind them who do not want to follow them all the way to the end.
No.
There's one way to do it.
The guy behind
decides
to hit the gas and go around. Now you're in a dangerous situation.
One little comment, I think, per comment is fine. To get into a further debate is what? Useless for our listeners, okay?
I don't know if that's okay or not.
I disagree, too, so.
Back to enforcement, I think, you know, if you're going to have speed limits, enforce them. And back to regulating traffic flow on highways, and you see that in and around cities, you know, in commuter traffic. One of the problems with higher speeds is you get into that accordion effect of traffic, and we've all experienced that. So, you know, we want to keep a safe distance with the car in front of us. So we as we increase speed, the distance between us and the cars in front and in back should be increasing or typically increases. The problem with that is as soon as somebody hits the brakes, everybody else in the back hits the brakes. But that means that the car who hit the brakes let the car in front get away, and once they resume, once the perceived reason for braking is over and they get back on the gas, now they're catching up the traffic in front. And you get this accordion effect, which can bring traffic to a
Another issue with that particular idea, with the faster you go, the more space you should give between
But let me finish with this. The idea of regulating traffic and I've seen this, again, in Europe, in and around cities, traffic used to flow at like 60 or 70 miles an hour on three-lane roads. They bring the traffic down all the way to like 45 miles an hour. But that means everybody's hitting like a rev limiter and just moving at the same speed. And the reality is traffic flows a lot better because you don't get that stop-and-go situation.
Okay. Well, we are in Europe. So.
No, but it's the same. Anyway, you have the same thing if you go on the hutch. You merge on the hutch, and all of a sudden traffic comes to a stop, and it picks up again, and then it slows down again. I'm all for regulating traffic speeds.
Okay.
When it can be done.
That's Jay's comment on speeds, and we all have our ideas about that. And the listeners, I hope you like this segment. Let's move to something else, if it's all right with you, Jay. I've noted that a couple things about the truck, the pickup truck market, and Stellantis, which Jay has made some comments about. There's a big headline in my automotive news that says Ready to Rumble, which is basically announcing that the Ram is trucks 1500 level are going to bring back the the discarded V8 engine. And the dealers have been complaining that nobody wants V6 engines in pickup trucks when they used to have V8s. I note also that Ford has got a line of their F-150s called the Lobo line, and it's exclusively supplied with a V8 engine in it. Truck owners are very loyal to their brands as long as their brands give them what they want. And what I'm saying to the truck listeners, owner listeners here, if you are a V8 fan and you're a Stellantis or Dodge truck fan, you're going to get V8s back in the new trucks, and you can go out and buy a new Ram pickup truck shortly when V8s get back in production.
So here's the irony of this particular RAM situation, is that it's not a V6, it's an inline-six, turbocharged inline-six that they had put in the RAM 1500, and that engine makes more power, has more torque, and is more fuel efficient than the V8 they're bringing back.
I know, but that has nothing to do with the owner's desires.
Well,
and that's the only point that needs to be made in this particular topic. The straight sixes are going to be still around for those who want more power with more economy, but there's nothing like a V8. Jay, you've driven vehicles with V8s and in your lifetime, and you know what the V8 sounds like or does to any, even if the sixes are, as you just said, stronger and more fuel efficient than the V8 that they replaced. I don't find pickup drivers wanting to worry about fuel mileage, though.
Okay.
So, what else, Jay?
That's why all these manufacturers are starting to build V8s again. We'll see where that goes.
Well, you had a list along with, let's go back to the speed limit situation. We didn't cover all the segments in your speed limit list. Is there anyone you want to cover as we head towards the end of this show?
We can talk about, safety. I mean, the main thing about speed limits is safety, right?
So right.
Is there a correlation between speed limit increases and decreases and the number of fatalities on the roads? Yes.
Yes.
Do fatalities decrease when speed limits decrease? Yes.
Yes.
Do they increase when the speed limits increase? Yes. But where it's more, where the difference is the greatest is on secondary roads, and most importantly, in cities. In New York City, the number of pedestrians killed has drastically gone down since they've brought the speed limits down to 25 miles an hour. So there is a correlation between the two.
Okay.
And I hate to have to admit that, but that is the case.
Okay.
I also think that, speaking of speed differentials, I think speed limits for trucks should be, we should have different speed limits for trucks, and trucks should be, semi-trucks on the highways should not be going 75 or 80 miles an hour.
Well, they are. Some states, I believe, have theoretical speed limits for tractor trailers you're really talking about, not pickup trucks, I presume. Because let me tell you, these tractor trailer trucks that are going 75, you watch the trailers make the cabs wobble, so when the drivers are not necessarily totally in control of their trucks, and that's a speculative statement on my part only. But I have watched on interstates tractor trailers weaving, and some of it's due to wind, and some it's due to driver inattention, possibly. You can't see up into the cab. They're higher than we are driving along. But I am particularly concerned with those trucks doing 75 miles an hour, Jay, as I think you would be too.
Oh, I get very upset with that. But anyway,
this gets to driver attention, and I'd like to segue into that with what I see increasing now that the weather's gotten warmer, and that is the use of electric bikes by kids. That is underage drivers, riders, that can't have driver's licenses. Jay, you and I have both experienced recent visual situations of electric bikes on our, not only the highways, but sidewalks. And these electric bikes go very fast, 25 miles an hour. I drove behind one, and it was doing 25 miles an hour. The rider was not pedaling, and he was on Route 44 between Millerton and Lakeville, and that is a curving, dangerous road.
Well, I saw one on the sidewalk here in Lakeville last night at full speed, not pedaling, hands off the wheel, and twiddling with his
cell phone.
Yes, these kids need to modify their behavior a little bit, but we need to be attentive.
Very vigilant.
When we're pulling out of driveways, in the center of towns where we have sidewalks, we need to keep in mind that, you know, there are not just pedestrians, but kids on bicycles.
Well, also electric bikes are silent. And if you are walking on the sidewalk and you have a dog on a leash on a sidewalk, and you won't hear an electric bike come up behind you. And I don't think electric bikes should be allowed on sidewalks, but there's no, if there's a law, nobody knows about it, and I don't know about it, and there's no signage on the sidewalks, no electric bikes permitted.
So I want to bring up very quickly before we need to go, big NASCAR weekend in town this coming weekend at the track, and there will be some road closures or some redirections or roads
detours.
Be going one way only.
Really?
In and around the track. There will also be a truck parade through town later this week, I believe on Friday. And so I would encourage people to keep that in mind. Read the newspaper this week and find out when this could become a problem for them. The race is on Friday and Saturday. It's going to be really, really busy.
That is June what?
On the roads.
June 27th and 28th, is it?
Correct.
Okay.
What else is new in the car world, Robin? Oh, Tesla's starting their robotaxi program. Started this weekend.
I was watching a guy who took a ride on one last night, just in the past week, in Austin.
Yep.
And it was a very good ride, very nice handling, and they had no, right now they're doing them, they do have a person in the front seat of the vehicle, not in the driver's seat, but they have the safety person there for now as they're checking it out. But he had a nice trip through. It handled nicely. It went through traffic nicely. It was really quite impressive.
Is it a robo-taxi?
Yeah.
And the safety person was in the passenger seat, so
right.
And the passengers were in the back.
Right.
And what would have happened if something did happen which required somebody to be in the driver's seat instead of in the passenger seat?
No, there's a touch screen there where you can do a lot of things. You don't have to be in that seat.
So here's my take on this. When I will now be taking a robo-taxi when there won't be any safety supervisor in the right seat, I'll just hop in the driver's seat and drive the car.
I don't know if it'll let you do
I
that.
I don't know you're going to be able to do that, Jay. It's a nice idea for our listeners to hear you say that. whether they'd want to do it, I don't know.
Of course,
I don't think we don't have any taxis or Ubers around here.
None are projected in any of the articles I'm reading right now. Being on the East Coast, they're all West Coast, Texas, L.A., San Francisco.
Yeah, it's all city and cluster environments, so, you know,
right,
where they're testing or they're actually out on the road like they are in California. Having said all this, gentlemen, we have come to the end of the road here.
And therefore, we are Car Keys, ending this week's show. It's Jay, Mike, and Robin.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut. Good.